There's a couple things I want to talk about before I get into my message today. First up, many of you have supported me in this other endeavor I've been doing called Mission Esperanza. Mission Esperanza is a ministry we started a year ago that specifically does ministry in Cuba. And if you know about as much Spanish as I do, you know that Esperanza stands for hope. And, you know, I can't go too much beyond that. But I can tell you that in a year we've been really busy, but there's a cool opportunity for you to get even more involved. And I want to talk about that just briefly. Because some people are like, Pastor, you need to tell us of the needs specifically. And one of them is that recently, Convoy of Hope has been trying to find unique creative ways to get into Cuba. But they have a six-fold mission, and it's got to meet one of those six criteria. And one of them was that they can feed children. And so starting up at the beginning of July, we were able to make an agreement with Convoy of Hope that twice a week they will provide enough food to feed 750 children. And so just starting this month, yeah. And I don't know if you are quite aware of the needs of Cuba. Cuba is, I have been to many countries, and there's not a nation quite like Cuba where their people are restricted from living their best life. And when we were down there in May, we asked Pastor David, who's the president of Open Bible Churches of Cuba, when is the last time you had meat, protein? And he said it was 30 days ago. And I think about the lack of nutrition that many of these pastors are getting, and they're trying their best to feed and provide for their flock. And there is a Cuban pastor who now resides in the United States in Miami. His name's Jorge Ura. And Pastor Jorge, he's got dual citizenship, so he goes back down to Cuba about every 6 weeks. And there is an app that we can use now called Supermarket 23. And Supermarket 23, what it does is it can deliver food directly to the steps of some of these pastors. And Pastor Jorge, he goes down there every 6 weeks and he connects with them and makes sure they're getting what they need. But Pastor Jorge has provided a means, because he knows all these 70 pastors specifically that need food, that we are going to start, we're going to commit to see who's interested in committing to send him money to feed some of these pastors. And here's the thing that I discovered. It's not that expensive. You guys think of delivery services, and the cost of food in Cuba is just crazy expensive. But you could reasonably feed someone for about $125 a month. And so we had a goal that we set forth of about $250 a month. And what it is, it's just those who would say, yeah, I want to give above and beyond, and I want to help feed a couple pastors. We're going to try and send Pastor Jorge about $250 a month, where that we can see some of these pastors get fed so that they can continue doing what they need to do. And so I'm sure that we put a couple of photos up there of just some of the kids that have been fed through Convoy of Hope. And we're praying and believing that Convoy of Hope is going to find unique and creative ways to distribute even more food to Cuba. And it'd just be absolutely amazing. For those of you that have supported me over the past year, you may or may not know Dave Bethany is the leader of Mission Esperanza. And he's also my construction director for Move Ministries. And he created this little pamphlet that talks about all the ministry accomplishments we've done over this past year. So if you have supported me in any way, I want to make sure at the end of service that you get one of these. I appreciate you. Who's ready to dive into God's Word today? Yeah. All right. We just started, we're starting this week, I should say, a series going through spiritual gifts. We just ended a series on the book of Haggai and talking about how God wants to restore his temple in us, amen? He wants to restore his temple in us. He wants us to follow this path of obedience. He wants us to walk forward in relying on him and his voice. Now, what the way God speaks to us is through his Holy Spirit. And as we're going through this series on spiritual gifts, I believe there is not a more important time for us as the body of Christ to focus on the spiritual gifts. I want you to think about the United States for just a moment and culturally where the church has shifted over the past 25 to 30 years. The U.S. church has distanced itself from the Holy Spirit. They've also discounted how God supernaturally works through his people. And, you know, it was in the early 2000s. There was a Pentecostal denomination that had many of its churches that were encouraging the body of believers not to speak in tongues or have an interpretation of tongues during their service because it might turn off guests. And I would first start by saying they should know their Bible. If you look at 1 Corinthians 14:39, it says, "So my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and don't forbid speaking in tongues." And you know, this is just a small snapshot of what the church has done, because churches have to accept that quenching the Spirit, and when we settle for earthly practical teaching, it's going to drive out the Spirit of God from the churches. It's going to cause them to lose favor with God. And what we find today that a lot of churches are doing, what is offered and presented on a Sunday can be read in any book, whether it's Christian or non-Christian. It can be picked up in any group, club, or community. When we choose to remove the Spirit of God from our churches, we're just offering the same exact thing the world offers. It's not different. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1a says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts." Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. And so today what we're going to do, we are going to discuss how you can experience the power of God through the Holy Spirit and why we should desire the things of the Spirit. And this is a very biblical taught message. And so what I want to say is, as we're going over this the next 6 to 7 weeks, you know, this is going to be the table setting message. This is going to be the message where we read a lot of scripture today. But what we're doing is we are building a foundation for why we believe that the church needs to be moving in the gifts of the Spirit. Who knows, we need to be experiencing the power of God. Who knows, without the power of God, it doesn't testify to how great God is. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. Let's begin. "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other." Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that God, we will seek you in your word and what you're speaking to us today. And God, how we can encourage and help one another. And Lord, display that you are active and you are moving. And Lord, your power is contained in us. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I look at verse 1, and it's clear that they asked the Apostle Paul, "So what superpowers does the Holy Spirit give us?" That's Aaron's paraphrase. And it's an entertaining thought to think about having a superpower, and we love to talk about it as people, and it's based on this idea that it's unrealistic beyond what is contained within ourselves, right? So I remember one of the questions when Wendy was having her bridal shower, one of the questions they asked her was, if Aaron could be a superhero, what superhero would he be? And the choice was Superman or Batman. Now, most people say Batman, but here's the thing. I said Superman. I'm going to tell you why. Batman's superpower is he's rich, right? And it's amazing. We have all these billionaires on the planet, and not one of them has chose to be Batman yet. But I think about the powers of Superman, and I'm like, man, the guy can fly. He can shoot lasers out of his eyes, you know? It's incredible. Like, these special abilities that we'd love to have. And Paul here, he's talking to them about special abilities the Spirit gives. And it speaks to there's this supernatural power that can work through us. But there are things that the church needs to understand about this power. And as we're setting the table for this message today, I want you to embrace that we are powerless without the Holy Spirit. We are completely powerless without Him. And something to understand about the Holy Spirit, He's always been. There's Old Testament evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's existence is evident throughout Scripture as you look at it. If you just start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." Some versions of the Bible might refer to the Holy Spirit as a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And that is clearly a move of the Spirit. Then if you go further in the chapter, Genesis 1:26, when God said, "Let us make man in our image," that was a function of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They've always been. To when in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 through 9, when God breathed into Adam, when He breathed life into Adam, that breath was the Spirit of God. In Ezekiel's vision of the valley of dry bones, God's breath or His Spirit brought them back to life. That's Ezekiel chapter 37. In the book of Judges, the judges are often described as being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Judges 6:34. It's talking about Gideon. It says, "But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon." When Samson defeated the Philistines in Judges 15:14, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him." And so throughout history, the Holy Spirit has demonstrated God's power on the earth. And we've seen that throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit moved all the time, but there wasn't access for all people, for the Holy Spirit like there is today. Now, the Holy Spirit before Christ, He couldn't be released on all people. And sure, the Holy Spirit, we've read throughout the Old Testament where He's moved upon people, but those were for moments and certain stories where people were empowered by the Holy Spirit for a specific time. Now, the Spirit waited for our sins to be atoned for before it could be imparted to all men. That's through Jesus Christ. So that means that the Holy Spirit works in every individual through the completed work of Jesus Christ. Are you guys hearing me? Okay. That was through the cross and Jesus' resurrection. The Holy Spirit's job is to direct glory and honor to Jesus Christ. If you were to look at John chapter 16, verses 13 through 15, Jesus touches on that. It says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring Me glory by telling you whatever He receives from Me." This is Jesus speaking. "All that belongs to the Father is Mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever He receives from Me." And this is another key reason why the Holy Spirit was released after Christ ascended. Jesus even went on in John chapter 16 to explain, "You are better off with Me leaving so that the Spirit of God can be present in your lives daily." So besides the gifts of the Spirit, there are many functions of the Holy Spirit that make us powerless without Him, and the role He provides in our lives today is so fulfilling in God. Now, outside of the move of God through the Spirit, there were no demonstrations of man having power without God that could give glory to God. So our power is limited and can never overpower anything else in the spiritual realm without God's intervention. Who knows, outside of the power of God, there is a spiritual force at work, but it's rooted in Satan, right? And people think that without Jesus Christ, without the power of God, that they can overcome that. And what they don't realize is they are being manipulated by that spiritual force. And so no one has overcome the power of Satan without God. It's impossible. So again, our power is limited and can never overpower anything else in the spiritual realm without God's intervention. Listen to John 15, 5. Jesus says, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit." Listen to this next sentence. "For apart from me, you can do nothing." You and I, we are dependent upon a sovereign and loving God who chooses to work through us. And so my prayer for you, church, is that you are awakened to our weakness without him. There are times I've felt so strong, and times where I've been awakened to how weak I truly am. And our weaknesses, if you look through Scripture, our weaknesses have been exposed. First off, we are completely powerless to sin. Without God, we are powerless to sin. Listen to Romans 8, 3 through 4. It says, "The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit." So check this out. Before Christ came to the earth, the Old Testament law, the rules of what we were to follow to maintain God's standard, what we are expected to follow, it was written right there for us. But here is the issue. We lacked conviction of sin. We also lacked a personal guide away from that. And so what happened is the law became more of a stumbling block for us, as Paul would say in Romans 8, 32. And so you and I, we can't escape the truth that without God, we are weak, whether it is because of sin, sickness we face, or death. The psalmist described his life without God as just dust in Psalm 103. But here's the thing, aren't you so thankful that we are now no longer living under the law, but we have been completely set free of sin through Jesus Christ, right? And our present reality now is God wants to pour out his Spirit upon all people. God wants you to experience life with him on a daily basis, and that has been provided to you through Jesus Christ. Listen to Joel chapter 2, verse 28. It says, "And afterward I will pour out my Spirit." So this is talking about once Jesus is ascended, "afterward I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions." Here's the thing about God, though. He doesn't take people who just are not seeking him and say, "Here you go, you get all the goodness that I offer." He imparts his Spirit on those who desire him. He imparts the infilling of the Holy Spirit on those who desire him. And what I know is, church, we are powerful with the Holy Spirit. We're powerless without Him. We're powerful with Him. And there have been extraordinary accomplishments through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And there was no greater outpouring or evidence of what God can do through His outpouring than what happened in the book of Acts in the early church. If we're to look at what Jesus says in Acts 1:8, He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Roughly 10 days after Jesus' ascension, the Holy Spirit did pour out. And one of the greatest examples of the work the Holy Spirit did was what He did in Peter's life. I want you to think about Peter for just a second. Remember, Peter is the same person that denied Jesus 3 times before He went to the cross. Peter, who seemed to always react before he even thought. But yet Jesus, here he is resurrected, he is standing before Peter, and he has an opportunity to restore Peter to who he was while he was following Jesus' ministry. You see, Peter was sulking. Peter was thinking about returning to the life of fishing, and that's what he was doing at the time. And Jesus rose from the dead, and there he is. He's ministering to his disciples before he's going to leave again. He was on the earth about another 40 days. And he calls out to Peter, and Peter eventually, he rushes to shore when he realizes what's going on. And Peter's still hung up on denying Him 3 times. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter, obviously it's the elephant in the room, right? He's denied Him, and he says, "Lord, you know. You know I love you." Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." Then he looks at him again, second time. "Peter, do you love me?" Peter's a little slighted. He's already answered the question, right? But he says, "Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep." And then Jesus asks him a third time. And I believe that broke that hardened heart of Peter right then. The denial, the shame, the conviction of sin was broken in that moment. And here's the thing. That started to change the course of Peter's faith. So Jesus ascends, and here he is. They're waiting on the Holy Spirit, right? And Peter, who was this guy, hard on the sleeve guy, but he was full of failure and full of things that he did wrong, God pours out His Spirit in Acts 2, and Peter, filled with the Spirit, he goes outside and he preaches to what the Bible describes as a multitude. And listen to Acts 2:37. Peter, he goes outside. He's filled with the Spirit. He just had this amazing encounter in the upper room. And Acts 2:37 says, "Peter's words pierced their hearts." This is a changed man. If you were to read over the course of Acts 2, the message that Peter spoke, that was not the work of Peter that was piercing the hearts of mankind. That was the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen to Hebrews 4:12. It says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." Church, that is the work of the Holy Spirit when God's word is spoken. Penetrates hearts and minds. Or when it's spoken through Peter, it pierces hearts. Now, God continued this work through Peter and the other apostles. If you were to look in Acts chapter 5, verses 15 through 16, it says, "And as a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed." Now, I have a serious theological question for you this morning. What power was there in Peter's shadow? None. There was no power in Peter's shadow. The Spirit of God resting upon Peter is what touched people. Make no mistake, the things that Peter achieved in his ministry was not the work of Peter. It was the Spirit of God inside him. Church, are you hearing me? We're going somewhere very specific here. So the Spirit of God, he is now living inside the hearts of men, and God is displaying his power through the obedient, the ones who long after his heart, the ones who want to display who God is over the face of the earth. And you know, Jesus promised this. And as he promised this, that the Holy Spirit would do greater things than he did, it's in John chapter 14, verse 12. He says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father." And church, I am telling you, the Holy Spirit is for everyone who believes. Listen to Acts 2, 38 through 39. Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, your children, and to those far away who have been called by the Lord our God." It's for you. Everyone in this room say, "It's for me." This is so important for you to sear to your heart that it is for you. It is not just those reserved who did great things in Scripture. It's not for those reserved and just who are in positions of authority. It is for you as an individual believer. Now, here's the thing. God displays his Holy Spirit's power in us by his giftings. Scripture teaches us that there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. And that's later in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is the basis of this series. And our base text for today tells us, listen to verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other, encourage each other. So the power of the Holy Spirit working through you is to build up your faith that you can have a stronger relationship with God. But more than anything, it is to connect others to God. And so others, what's going to happen is they're going to see an extraordinary work through an ordinary man and know that it's God. It's interesting what the world's understanding of being powerful is. Because when the world thinks of power, we think that we can elevate ourselves and become more powerful. And so what happens is they attribute that power to themselves. Now, the spiritual work that God does in us to elevate us is that we accept and know that we are weak without the power of God. That's the difference. It's not to glorify ourselves. It's not to say, "Wow, God, you know, I'm doing this great work." That's not what it's about. It's acknowledging that God is doing this work in me, and without God, I am nothing. Paul kind of talks about that power that's at work within us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. He says, "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves." not seeking to elevate yourself, but to glorify God. And something I want to challenge you with today, that if you think you are too weak to be used by God, think again. 1 Corinthians 1:27 tells us that God uses the weak to shame the strong. So all the time, I have seen God use people that I thought, really? Lord, like my natural mind can't fathom why you would use that person. God confounded me in that moment. He challenged my thoughts. He challenged the world's thoughts. And so God, what he does is he loves to use the things of the world that we deem are powerless to reveal that there is a greater power at work than what we could do in our own power. The Apostle Paul, he wrestled with this perception throughout his ministry because others looked at him as a weak vessel. They looked at him as like, how can we even consider him a man of authority? He's been through all these attacks. He's been through all these problems. He had a boulder dropped on his head that disfigured him. And they're saying, why should we listen to this guy? He's getting attacked left and right. And as he had been beaten almost to death, he had been imprisoned, he had been shipwrecked. Paul also had an infirmity that he carried with him the rest of his life. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about it. He says, 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. So likewise, church, don't set limitations for what God can do through you. You know, it's good to say, God, why me? That's humility. But it's different if you say, oh, God can't use me. I'd say the only reason God can't use you is because you're not obedient to him. But he uses the obedient. He uses those that desire the things of him. And he wants to work in you, and he wants to have you carry the mantle of his authority because you are his child. He wants to work through you. And so when we choose to do that, we are his witnesses to the ends of the earth, carrying this authority as his ambassadors. That's a word that regularly shows up through Paul's epistles. And so God has purposed his power in you, his people. And he does this first and foremost so that you can encounter God. You can know that God is with you, and you can acknowledge that he is living and active and still works today. Jesus made statements about the benefit of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, John 16, in Acts chapter 1. But specifically today, I want to focus on what he says in Acts 1:8 again. We talked about it just a little bit earlier, but we're going to revisit it. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Do you hear that part? You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the Holy Spirit, what he does is he empowers you to be a witness for him. He's going to give you the words to speak. And God, in knowing the hearts of all men, knows what needs to be spoken to draw people into him. And so you and I, we need that connection in order to reach others. Because church, I'm not a mind reader. I don't walk up to a stranger and just know what they're going through. But God does. God does. And so we need to work on that to be his witness. And God will also display his mighty power through us as a part of that witness. I want to reference a scripture we also read earlier, John 14:12. It says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father.
So check this out. God wants to display his mighty power through us in a greater capacity to prove that he is at work. God wants to do that. And so it is with great humility that you should want to be used, because all of our efforts point to a powerful God. So, church, I want to encourage you about something. You need to open this door. Kelton referred to that earlier. And it was contained in my message right when he said it. I'm like, yes. Open the door of faith in your life, so that others may have the opportunity to see God work in you. See, here's the reality. So many people, that door, you open it at your leisure. There are times you're like, God, it's fully open, I'll let you in. And then there's periods of your life where you're like, nope, gotta shut it. I'm too busy, I have my own things, Lord. But we'll revisit that later, and maybe I'll open it up again. And I'm encouraging you, you need to open the door of faith for your life, and you need to take that thing off its hinges, okay? Because if you believe God can work through people, you need to believe God can work through you. And he's going to take you places you never imagined possible. And it just takes desire and heart for the things of God. Now, once the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, the early church couldn't be stopped. The Pharisees tried to stop it. The Roman government tried to stop them. But it couldn't be stopped. And so when the church, even today, is operating under the power of God, it is an unstoppable force. But our reality is that the church has made an effort to operate under its own power in order to try and please God. And church, I want to remind you, you can't honor God apart from Christ. You can't do it. You can try and come up with your own creative ways to honor God outside of his direction and will, but I believe it's ultimately in vain. As we discussed last week, God is pleased with our obedience. So if we are just constantly working to honor God without being directed by him or led by his Holy Spirit, I believe that work is useless. Sure, we need to obey the word of God. We need to do what it says. But any of the extra stuff where we're like, I'm going to go do this and it'll bring such glory to God. Not if it's not directed by him. Your work's in vain. But God says, if you embrace this partnership, if you open this door, if you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, I want to walk in partnership with you. We're almost done. I want you to listen to this. Philippians 2, 12 through 13. It says, dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you, listen, this is God giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. That's through the Holy Spirit. So God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So here, you might be saying, Pastor, how do I open this door to that desire and power? How do I create that in my life? Surrender to him. Fully surrender to him. Open your heart to him. Fully desire what God offers and not the things of the earth. And I am telling you, there are some things in your life that it is not inherently sinful, but it is for you. I want you to hear me out. It is for you. And so when we talk about when we place idols in our life, we can place barriers between us and God. And there are things in our life that can hinder us from getting closer to God because we value that thing so much. And so inadvertently, what we're doing is we're closing that door. And we're saying, oh, nope, now we can open it. Now we can open it. That was for a season. Now I'm ready for God to be active in my life again. Oh, no, time to close it again. You see how we do that? We do it so regularly. We might do it on a weekly basis. We say, you know what? I'm going to go get my fill of church. I'm going to get connected with God. Now I'm going to go do my own thing the rest of the week. So maybe we open our door one day a week. God is calling out to you. Desire the things of me. God is not a one-day-a-week God. God is not a two-day-a-week God. There's not one day a week that you can say, God, I'm going to take this day off. It's mine. That doesn't exist. We should wake up each and every day saying, God, I desire everything you have for me today. And I want to honor you with my life today. And I am telling you, church, the way that you are going to gain full access to God is choose to fully step in. Because here's the thing, where we may have this door open sometimes and shut sometimes, God's door is always open. God's door is always open. He's calling out to you to receive the things of him. And he's just waiting for you to follow this path, as Peter said in Acts chapter 2. Repent. Start with repentance. And then see that God, he wants to fill you. He wants to use you. But you have to choose to step out. In Ezekiel chapter 47, he has this vision of a river. And it's flowing out from underneath the door of the temple of God. And I want to read for you part of this vision as we close. And I want you to just close your eyes and envision this for a second. In Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1, it says, in my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet and then led me across. The water was up to my ankles. He measured off another 1,750 feet and led me across again. This time, the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist. Then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. I want you to listen to the results of this river. It's found in verse 12. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of the trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be food for food and the leaves for healing. Church, I want to explain to you that river for just a moment. That river flowing from the temple of God is the Holy Spirit. And what God is directing, he's saying, if you just go with me, if you just go with me, and if you step out, you're going to find yourself ankle deep. You're going to see it's good. And then, you'll be encouraged to go further. And as you go further and as you choose to step out again, what's going to happen is you're going to find it's knee deep. and you're going to see how inviting and life-giving it is. And I'm going to ask you to go with me further, and then you're going to see it's waist deep. And eventually you're going to see that the goodness of God, the moving of the Holy Spirit, everything that he offers is so great that it's going to be too deep for you to walk across. And what's going to happen is it's going to be producing fruit in your life, true spiritual fruit. It's also going to be producing things that heal. It's going to be producing miracles. It's going to be producing all these things that flow from the throne room of God if you choose to step into it. But you have to make that step. And here's the reality. I see so many people that say, I want to go with God a little ways. And they get out, they step out in the water, and they're like, that's good. But so's the world. There's only so much we want to give God. We're like, you know, walking another 1,750 feet, that sounds like work. And people are only willing to go so far. And God's calling out, I want you to go deeper. I want you to go deeper. I want you to seek me. And church, I am asking you, are you willing to go deeper? Are you willing to allow God to show you the goodness of what he offers? Because we can't keep opening and closing this door. We got to rip it off its hinges. We got to say, God, I want all the things of you, and that I need to step out and I need to continue stepping out. I can't just go with you partway. I got to go with you all the way. That's what God wants from us. But the thing is, sometimes we're like, no, I'm pretty comfortable with it just ankle deep. Pretty comfortable with it knee deep. If I go in over my head, that's out of control. God's saying, but no, that's what's going to produce fruit that's never going to die. That's what's going to produce healing and miracles and all these things. And church, what I am asking of you today, surrender. Say, God, I'm going to step out. I'm going to step out. I want the things of you. So right now, I just ask you to close your eyes. I want to pray. Father God, Lord, you know the hearts and minds of each and every person in this room, Lord. I couldn't possibly, but you do. And so as we open the door to your Holy Spirit to evaluate us, God, Lord, I don't think any one of us can escape this truth that, God, there have been times or seasons in our life where we have shut the door to you. God, where we don't allow you to operate the way you need to operate in our lives. God, we have not entered true discipleship. We have not given our all to following you. Lord, I pray right now that we be sensitive to your Holy Spirit speaking. We embrace what you want to speak to us as individuals. And God, that we be so quick to repent. We recognize that, God, our way is not your way. And that, Lord, we take the steps of obedience, doing what your word asks us to do. And Lord, that we do rip this door off its hinges, saying, God, I want all of you or nothing. And so, God, we just embrace you for all that you are. And God, we choose to walk with you on this journey. We surrender each and every part of our lives to you. And so if you are someone in this room today, and you would say, I choose to be a person in full surrender to God and what he has for my life, and that he wants to use me and he wants to fill me with his Holy Spirit, I ask that you stand. Surrender your life over to him completely today. Is that you? Would you be willing to do that in Jesus' name? If you were to say, God, I surrender all today. Lord, I'm tired of shutting that door. God, it's fully open. Lord, I want the things of you. God, we want the things of you. God, we know that your gifts are good. God, when your son teaches that the Father gives good gifts. And Lord, even if we being evil, we know how to give good gifts. Lord, how much greater are the gifts that you give? And so, Lord, we're just embracing the things of you today. And God, we're saying we know that you are good. And there are so many things that we see in this world that we think are good. But God, it's of evil. It detracts us from the things of you. There are things that are not eternal, God. There are things that are perishing. And so, God, I pray that we be awakened to remove those things from our life. God, be able to take this door, this metaphorical door off its hinges to say, Lord, we are completely open to what you have for us, God. We'll be sensitive to your spirit each and every day, that when you speak out to us, God, we hear you, we follow your voice, we know your voice, God. Lord, I pray that we be open to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that God, the very moment our flesh says, you know what, let's put that door back. God, that we be resolved, that we have, as your word speaks to, this desire to keep going, to walk in that empowerment, Father. I thank you and I praise you, God. Lord, may you start stirring in hearts right now to desire the things of you, because, God, I believe that in this room we have prophets and prophetesses, God. We have those that you are going to fill with your spirit to deliver words of knowledge, Father. We have those in this room that will be able to administer by the laying on of hands, healing, God, because you direct it, Lord. Lord, where we need to hear from your voice through tongues and interpretation, God. Lord, at times where we need to be raised up to these deep levels of faith that can only come from your Holy Spirit. God, for discernment, Lord, that we might recognize, Lord, when things are not of your spirit, that when the enemy is on the attack, God, that we might be called to a supernatural wisdom beyond human reasoning. Lord, may we embrace the things of you. And God, may we stand back in awe of the fruit that you produce in our lives when we just choose to be obedient and surrender. I praise you, God. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.